In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first year in Houston was dominated by one consistent emotion: loneliness. You see, the apartment complex I'd moved into, it turns out, did not replicate the camaraderie of college dorm life I naively was expecting. Quite the opposite. And the newness of my vocation as a priest was exhilarating, but also draining by the end of the day. And I was dealing with some digestive issues that put me on a long food elimination diet. So going out for a meal or grabbing a beer was not quite accessible for friend making. And before you go and feel sorry for me, let me just alleviate your concern. Don't worry, we good, I'm fine. It just took me a little while. The irony, of course, is that I have gobs of family here in Houston, people who are always ready for a social event. The thing is, we differ a lot. Politically, theologically, socially even, in pretty significant ways. And I really hope they're not listening to this sermon. They are people that I love, don't get me wrong. But when given the chance to spend time with them, I have to admit, my first thought often is, I'm just not sure I have the energy to hear what they are going to say. It's no great combination, loneliness and isolation. In fact, social scientists with catastrophe-prone speech call this combination of loneliness and isolation a social and public health crisis, dangerous to one's health, and at the root of social disintegration in our time. And so it might sound strange, but this lethal combination has been on my mind since Thursday, the Feast of the Ascension. Specifically, I'm struck that God now speaks and listens with a human voice. Here's what I mean. In case the Feast of the Ascension passed you by, so last Thursday is when we remember that 40 days after Jesus' bodily resurrection, he bodily ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And it's unsurprising that we don't really notice it in our regular lives, because 40 days after Easter is always a Thursday. But in other countries, that's a national holiday, celebrated in different ways by the flying of kites or launching fireworks. You get the imagery there, I hope. Some people take a picnic on a hill. Apparently, it's suggested that you eat quail or pheasant sandwiches. Really, anything that flies is appropriate. And let me state clearly, I adore this kind of lightheartedness to celebrate our faith. I think we could stand to have more parties, more silliness, more laughter to commemorate the wonderful deeds of our God. But at the same time, the ascension kind of looks like abandonment, doesn't it? As if, having accomplished everything that he was sent to do, Jesus clapped the dust off of his hands and said, "My work here is done. See ya." But remember, God brought Jesus up to heaven. Now, I can already see a few of my repeat offenders mentally arguing with the physics of the ascension. So let me say, the where and the how of Jesus' ascent is not the point here. No, the deeper implication is what matters: that God welcomes something not previously a part of God into himself, a human. Think about that. Before the ascension, humanity was always an object of God's attention, a facet of his creation. But when God the Father brought Jesus up, a new thing occurred. Jesus' humanity became a part of God. I think that's huge. Not least because many of us, perhaps only in the quiet of our hearts, imagine God the Father looking with disdain at our smallness, at our ceaseless forgetting, at our capacity for distrust. From the stories our parents and teachers and strangers alike have told us about ourselves, some of us have intuited that we're not worthy of love, of silliness, of exhilaration, even safety. We've internalized a message that Jesus really had to advocate for us because God was angry. But the ascension says no to that. It claps back at those distorting voices and proclaims that God brought humanity into God's very self. God wanted humanity to be a part of the divine life. And so the triune God brings vulnerability in, brings woundedness in, into God's very heart. Jesus takes our nature, and here's what's so wild, begins speaking to the Father in a human voice, and not against the Father's will. No. God took the initiative, made it happen, yanked Jesus up to his presence, and descending to be with God, Jesus takes with him all of our words, our nasty, petty, pain-filled, sometimes violent, often fearful words, and speaks them to his beloved, saying, "This is the humanity I have brought home. It's not always pretty, but it's real." And you know what? God welcomed it. Welcomed it into the heart of things for healing and for transformation. Now, the ascension does pose some logistical challenges. Jesus is ever human. One of the features of being human, as we all know, is circumscription, boundaries, skin. We end somewhere, don't we? Jesus' body is now in heaven, and however we understand what that means, the point is that he's not here. And so for that reason, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends along Jesus' contrails to give the life of Jesus to his disciples. Jesus' physical body remaining in heaven, the Spirit makes the church Jesus' body on earth. Despite our flagrant dysfunction, our blindness, our pettiness, the Spirit sustains the church as Jesus' presence here in the world. And in giving us the life of Jesus, and here I'm finally going to make a point, the Spirit gives us ears to hear what people are actually saying. It gives us courage not to shut out what is difficult or unpleasant or offensive. It opens our ears and our hearts so that we can be more vulnerable. Not taking at face value what is said, but listening for what is underneath what is said. Trusting it will be taken by Christ into God's self, where it can be healed. When I find myself resistant to the ideology espoused over family dinners or on social media, my impulse is to shut my ears and my heart. But what the ascension reminds us is that God listens to it all, and maybe most importantly, listens to what's behind it. God listens for the anxiety, that manifests as anger in a political conversation. For the fear of change that comes out as hate. For the financial insecurity that manifests as worry about globalization and migration. For the recurrent wounding of people's souls that just comes out as blatant defensiveness. God listens, and God sees. And tasting the body that has ascended, we too are empowered to do the same. Today, like every Sunday, we will eat from this altar, the body of Christ that sustains us. But what's different today is that we will extend our Eucharistic feast up in the parish hall, out around this campus, as an opportunity to better understand what it means to be the body of Christ. Now, y'all are grown adults, and this is not summer camp. So I'm not going to suggest that you sit somewhere special or force a conversation. Today's lunch, like the Ascension Day traditions I referenced, is just a chance to laugh, to enjoy each other's company as an extension of our Easter joy. But my hope is there too, that by encountering our risen and ascended Lord at this meal, and by the fellowship that we can share with one another in our feasting today, we can begin to trust that the Spirit has given us the life of Jesus, the courage and the boldness to confront our loneliness and our isolation that fester among us with hearts and with ears that listen to troublesome words for the feelings beneath those words. And that as the body of Christ on earth, our listening and our refusal to run away might be the very vehicle of transformation and healing of us and of those we struggle to love. Amen.